Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, I love it. It's been a good week. Lord has blessed us in a lot of ways. Got a rain. Summer has started for our kids. Vacations are started. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be grateful for because we serve a risen Savior and He's in control of everything. Amen. So let's stand as we sing our first few songs. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I call to you to share His love as He told me to. He said freely, freely you have received. Sing right out. Free. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share His power as He told He said freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, cause you believe, others will know that I live. Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace, the Savior for sinners like me. Sin from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to know and to know that His blood, His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me, and 'twill last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy. Just to know that His grace reaches me higher than the mountains and brighter than the sun. It was offered at Calvary forever. One greatest of treasure, and it's mine today. Though my sins were as scarlet, He has washed away. His grace. Amen. Please be seated.
I will be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we are God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more have been reconciled? Shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come together today as a congregation to worship you. And please send some rain as we need it very bad. And please help all the families of Uvalde as they have gone through a shooting. And just know that you are in control and you have the last say in everything that we do. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer, Payton. He is in control. He'll have the final say. The next two songs will be to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. If you would forget about the cares of this world and the privilege and opportunity that we have to commune with each other and with our Lord and Savior. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear, with what anguish and loss Jesus went cross, but he carried my sins with him there. He is tender and loving and patient with me, while he cleanses my heart of its dross. But there's no condemnation, I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross, they are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing presence with him then. Your only Son, no sin to heart, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus, Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a frog and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. If
you haven't got your communion, we have Willis here and Cash here, and they'll provide that for you. Okay. Dear Father, we're so thankful for today. Father, we love you so much. The sacrifice that you did for us as sinners on that cross. You didn't have to do that, Father, but you did it because you loved us so much. And as we humble ourselves and take these two emblems, Father, which the bread represents your broken body. May we do so in a very pleasing sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fathers, we continue to praise you and give you the glory of our salvation, Father. We want to remember the blood that you shed, Father. Father, I can imagine the pain and agony that you had to take in your hands and your feet, Father, just to fulfill all prophecy. Father, we're so thankful that you did that, Father, that one of these days, that we can be with you in paradise, Father. Continue to bless us. May we partake of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. All right. We will be dismissing for Children's Church. We will have that today, and it will be straight down here in 109 this morning. So right now, we will do our children's giving. Got my helper right here. She's excited. So we'll go ahead and sing, and you guys come on down, and we'll dismiss. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. You were the one, Lord, who sent the Savior, heart and soul, Lord, to every man. It is you, Lord, who knows our weakness. You refine us with your own hand. So, Lord, prepare me to be sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I know it's y'all get really excited about this part, and you get to go meet somebody that you have never met before. Or maybe it's just been a while. But we'll take a few minutes to do meet and greet, and then when Rusty starts us back off with our next song, it'll be time to sit down. So you guys, go find somebody.
Power and wisdom. in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
The judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. His mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that
our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know that he's awesome.
Our God is awesome.
And he reigns.
He reigns
wisdom.
Our God is an awesome God.
And we know that he's awesome.
Our God is awesome.
And he reigns.
He reigns from
with power and wisdom.
With power and wisdom. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know.
If you would, return to your seats. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing the next few songs. Before David gets up and presents our lesson to us this morning. Please sing right out. The singing has been amazing. Thank you. It sounds like there's 600 people in here. And just thank you for the singing. We'll sing a couple before his sermon, and just sing right out. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sin was washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. Now I have a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And wonderful day when at the cross I believe riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand. Sing right out. Heaven came down and glory filled when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sin washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, filled my soul. Look at that word on the top of that first line. It says freely. Sing right out freely because his amazing grace is in your life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas, but now I see. sing. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. How I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the flood, His mercy reigns, unending, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. Sing it right out. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. This earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Please be seated.
Got to pray after that. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, thank you for making it possible. And Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us and helping us to remember we are saved by grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, church. I tell you what, Rusty's on his A game today, and I may not have any voice left to preach, you know. You get excited about singing like that, and you just you run out of voice, but that's okay. If you want to turn your Bibles to John 8, I want to share you a very special story in God's Word out of John 8 this morning. Before I do that, though, and I know He doesn't want me to do this, but I've got to tell you, I am so proud and happy about Jacob Russell being in this church. He is doing an awesome job. Jacob has been coordinating getting the pews out of here so we can get the electrical work done and the lighting and stuff, and then getting them back in and getting chairs down from way upstairs to put over here in the corner for our Bible classes. And there have been people working together to help him with that, and people setting up for our Bible classes. This has just been very exciting to see. And I really appreciate all of you who have been helping make that possible. And while I'm at it, let me thank you also for all of you who came Wednesday night to help out with our service time. I will confess, we did not have everything organized like we would like for it to be. You know, we wanted to have a lot of other things to do for people that couldn't get involved in some of the things we had going on in here. We're going to do better with that. In fact, the first Wednesday night of July, we're going to do some special things. We're going to try to introduce some ministries to you by letting you get a chance to participate in it. Basic Needs is going to help us have a way that you can get a sample of what you would be doing if you volunteer to help in Basic Needs. The prison ministry is going to be set up to where we can do some things to show you what you would be doing if you volunteer to help with the prison ministry. And we've got other things like that. So please don't give up on us. Come out when we have these special Wednesday nights for service, because we'll find something for you to do. We'll be better organized the next time, and we'll love to have you come and see how we do some of the ministries that we do, so you can know what you're volunteering for if you volunteer for that, okay? Watch in the bulletin for what we're doing each Wednesday night. Each Wednesday night we do something a little different, and that's so that we can be involved in everybody getting a place to fit in and to do special things. So watch for that this summer and be a part of that. Also, thank you for being in Bible class this morning. It may have been confusing for some people. Some of you may not have known whether you were supposed to be in red or green or blue. We'll hope you got all that straightened out. But please be in Bible class. These Bible classes this summer are very, very special. They have a lot to do with what we're trying to do this fall and what we're trying to do to get ready for bringing in somebody else to work with our family, youth and family ministry. So please be a part of that. Be a part of these small group discussions, because it's very, very important in what we're doing. All right? Thank you so much for that. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about something that ties into our Bible classes. In our Bible classes on Sunday morning, we're doing three lessons on the big question of who am I, talking about identity. And this is something that all generations ask. Who am I? At the different phases of your life and the different transitions that you go through, you keep asking this question. Whether you do it out loud or not, you're asking, who am I? What is my identity? When we study those three lessons on identity on Sunday morning in our Bible classes, I will be preaching on the same topic. And then we'll start three lessons on belonging. That answers the question of, where do I fit in? And everybody's asking that. Our teens really want to know, how do they fit in? Our youngsters are wanting to know, where do I fit in? Even as you go through transitions in your older years in life, you're saying, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And as we deal with three lessons on that on Sunday morning in our Bible classes, I'll be preaching on that topic in the sermons that week. And then finally, we'll have three more lessons on our purpose. What can I do to make a difference? And we all want to make a difference. We all want to be in some kind of purpose that is life-changing, that is helpful for life. And as we deal with that in our Bible classes, I'll preach on that topic each week. So this week, I'll do the first lesson on identity. And each week that I do it, I'm going to bring a character out of the Gospel of John for us to better deal with the idea of identity. And this week, let me go back, because you may not be there. John chapter 8 first. And let's read this scripture, and then I'll talk about what we're saying here. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in the midst. And he said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as soon as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and he wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And Jesus stood up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." That's what we want to talk about this morning. And I think it's important for us to, before we begin this discussion, to remember, basically, these are the ways that people are identified. We're identified by what people expect of us. You know, you're expected to live a certain way, and that's what people will identify you with, whether you fit into that expectation or not. Secondly, it's how we measure up. Often it's with an expression of, "I'm not blank enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not athletic enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not whatever." Fill in the blank. Often our identity is based upon if we're enough in some category or how we fall short. Thirdly, our image. And that's based on what we've done or what we've failed to do, or maybe it's even what our intended purpose of doing something was. Our reputation. And then finally, it's how we're labeled. When you look at this woman who is caught in adultery, automatically you have her label. You have what she has done. You have this idea that she has not measured up to the expectations of marriage and morality. And people certainly expect her to live differently than the way she's living. So she's automatically identified by her being called an adulterer. Every time I read this story, I can't help but think of Nathaniel Hawthorne's book, The Scarlet Letter. If you remember the book, Hester Prynne became pregnant when her husband was away. She ended up having to raise her child by herself. And she had to wear a big scarlet A on her chest to identify her in the community, an identity of shame, of being adulterous. And this is the same idea with this lady, except it's probably even worse in this situation, because they add, saying it more than once, "We caught her in the very act." Imagine how shameful that is. So I want you to think about how the different characters in this story identify this lady. So let's start with the Pharisees. How did they identify her? Think about what they thought of her. She was immoral. She was ungodly. She was probably what we would call a tramp in their eyes. But really, in reality, they weren't really that concerned about her. I want you to think about part of the story that's missing. Where's the man? If she was caught in the very act, there were two people involved. Where's he? Was this a setup? Was this something that was made to happen to bring her into a situation where they could trap her and put her in a position to where they could use her in trying to test Jesus? What's really happening in this story? So not only do they have this image of her and trying to portray her in this immoral, ungodly way of looking at her, but they're also using her as a way to try to get their intended outcome of making Jesus make a mistake so that they'll have something to hold against him. They're trying to trap Jesus. And they don't care about the collateral damage with this woman. And the man gets off because he's part of the plan. Can you imagine how she felt? The shame, the guilt, the embarrassment. She felt trapped. She felt cornered. She felt judged, ridiculed, and condemned. She probably also felt angry being put in this situation. She was scared. They're talking about taking her life, of stoning her. She's hurt. The Pharisees and the scribes who are involved in this are the teachers of the law. They're the religious leaders of the community. They're the people that should be concerned about her. But instead, they don't care about her at all. And I'm sure that hurt. And what was her relationship with the man? We don't often ask that question about this story. Whether it was right or wrong for her to do what she was doing, and obviously it was wrong, that doesn't change the fact that her heart may have been invested in this man. What happens with those feelings? Just because she's feeling guilty and shame and anger and all of that, that doesn't change that she may also be hurt because of this relationship. She feels betrayed. She's been framed. She's been put in this situation that she doesn't deserve to be put into, no matter how sinful she was. Think about her for a moment. Because we're real quick to move on in this story and forget about how she may have felt. Let's identify her. How does Jesus see her? I want you to notice in the story that he speaks to her. And he is the first one to speak to her. It doesn't mention anything in the story that indicates that the Pharisees were involved in any kind of conversation with her. Nobody has anything to say to her. She's grabbed, she's pulled into the center surrounding area around the temple. All eyes are on her. No telling how she's dressed, maybe covered with some kind of blanket or something. And nobody's saying a word to her. And Jesus is the first one who addresses her. Notice also that he speaks to her in such a way, although he acknowledges the fact that she is a sinner, he makes it clear by what he says about those of you that were without sin, throw the first stone, and nobody throws a stone. He tells her, by doing that, we are all sinners. There's not anybody here that's accusing you that is free from sin. Yes, you are a sinner. You need to deal with your sin, but you're not the only sinner here. That was important for her to know. He asked, where are those who condemn you? And Jesus says, I don't forgive you. I don't condemn you either. The step toward forgiveness is the absence of condemnation. He says to her, I'm not condemning you. I'm not letting you stand in front of me thinking that the purpose for you being here is to be condemned. I wonder, while Jesus was bent down and he was saying, hey, those of you that are without sin, throw the first stone, and the guys begin to leave, from the oldest to the youngest, which tells you something about experience being a good teacher, as they leave and she's standing there with Jesus, knelt down, why didn't she leave? This is her moment. This is time to get away. Jesus raises up and she is still there. And he says, I don't condemn you either. And she, in his eyes, is given the opportunity to have a new beginning, to have a different identity. No longer condemned, but challenged to live a better life. So let's go back to the woman for a little bit. We mentioned all the feelings that she had, but what did she think about Jesus? What did she think about Jesus? To begin with, I think she was puzzled. Who is this? I don't think she had that much awareness of Jesus and his ministry. She certainly had not come to the decision that he was the Messiah. I don't know that she expected him to deal with things religiously. I don't know that she understood any of this. And she had to be surprised with the way he dealt with this situation. That if this guy is a religious teacher, he would be aware of what the law said. And like they said, I could be stoned by him. And he doesn't indicate for a moment that he's even considering that. She had to be a bit surprised. She had to be relieved. And like I mentioned a moment ago, she even had her opportunity to leave herself. When everybody starts taking off, this is a great time for her to run. She must have been relieved that he wasn't going to let them stone her, and he wasn't going to condemn her either. Wow. If it were you, don't you think you would have ran off? Get out of there as quick as you can. But something about Jesus made her stay. I think part of that was she saw something different in him. He wasn't trying to be a legalist. Oh, let's see what the law says about this. He certainly wasn't a very good politician. You know, well, guys, you know, we probably need to be careful about the Roman law. You know, we don't really have the authority to stone her, even though she needs to be stoned. I mean, that's obvious. And you guys, you're so pure and holy and all of that. You certainly have the right to be the ones who stone her, but we need to be careful about Roman law. He wasn't a very good politician. In fact, he just tells them straight up, you guys are sinners too. What did she see in Jesus that made her stay? There was something about him that was different. Something that saw her differently. Something that allowed her that even in her guilt and her shame to realize that she could be looked at differently. Now don't use your imagination too far here. But imagine how she was dressed. Imagine what is going on around her. Imagine being scared, being ashamed, feeling guilty, and you're standing in front of a man who maybe for the first time in her life has treated her with dignity and respect. And she stayed. And Jesus said, I don't forgive, I don't condemn you. Go and change your life. You may be sitting here today thinking that you've done something that is so terrible you can't be forgiven. You may be thinking, as you sit here this morning, boy, I hope nobody ever finds out that about me. You may be thinking, boy, if this church really knew who I really was and what I've done, they wouldn't even let me attend here. You may be wrestling with something that is a daily difficulty for you. It's a struggle for you. You resist sin over and over again, and then you find yourself giving into it, and you have to start again. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction or something in your life that you can't seem to shake, and it's a constant battle for you. Maybe this morning you're involved in a relationship that you know is not good for you. You know you shouldn't be involved in that relationship. Or maybe you're involved in a relationship where you have hurt someone and you don't even know how to begin to repair that relationship. You feel like it is so far gone that there's no way to make up for the damage that you've caused in that relationship. We represent so many sins among us this morning. And yet Jesus tells us we don't have to be identified by our sin. We can be forgiven. And we can start over. We can live a different life. That Jesus doesn't look at us the way other people look at us. Jesus doesn't look at us in the way we look at ourselves. We can change. We can be different. We can have a second chance because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. We can be forgiven and we can start anew. And it can continually be a part of our life, knowing that Jesus keeps on forgiving us. That we keep trying. We keep trying, and yet we make mistakes, and yet Jesus loves us so much that he keeps forgiving us. So who are you this morning? What's your identity? Are you like this woman? Dealing with shame and guilt, and you wish you could be somewhere else where people are not going to expose you and cause you to look like what you feel like you are, dirty, ugly, that nobody will accept you. I'm here to tell you this morning that because of Jesus, you don't have to feel that way about yourself. You are different because Jesus has made a difference. You are forgiven, not because you're so perfect, but you're forgiven because Jesus is perfect. And you can start again in your life. This very morning, you can start again because Jesus paid the price for what you should be stoned for. He has taken our punishment upon himself so that we don't have to go through it. And you can be free from that. That's your identity. That's who you are. You're forgiven. You're loved. And you've been given a second chance. So this morning, if we can help you to realize the new life that you can be living, to understand your new identity and begin to live like who you are through Jesus, we would love to do that as we stand and sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Praising my Savior the day long. Perfect submission, all in I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Be seated, please.
Good morning. I read to you from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." I come to you today talking to you about New Life Behavior. It's a prison ministry. Basically, it's in jails, and we need help. I have 152 people here that have written us saying, "Please study the Bible with me." We have the lessons, we have the keys, we have the everything. It's not hard to study with these people, and we've got a good handful of workers, but folks, it's exploding. People are, like I say, this 152 has just been in the last couple of weeks, and every time that we get a letter, there's usually somebody else that says, "Hey, I told my friend about these people at Graham Street, and could you please study with them too?" And it's growing and it's growing, and it's funny, it started in Erath County Jail, okay, and they were studying, and then people get shipped to different places. And the thing is that they wind up telling other people. They're doing evangelism inside the jails, inside the prisons, and this person ended up going to Texarkana, and suddenly Arkansas opened up, and we needed help in Arkansas. And then about 3 or 4 months ago, somebody got transferred from Arkansas and had to stay a night in Oklahoma. And they told about these people that are in Stephenville, Texas, that will send you a Bible and will study the Bible with you. And suddenly Oklahoma has opened up. I have 10 people in Oklahoma, and that's growing. We received a letter a couple of weeks ago that somebody got sent to Florida. And now we have 5 people in Florida that are asking, "Please study the Bible with us." And so I'm asking for you to hear the Macedonian call that's coming from behind prison walls, from jail walls. Please take one, take two. They don't all come at once. But we have a gold mine here of people that are wanting to study about Jesus. We often say, you know, if somebody would just come up to me and say, "Hey, I want to study the Bible," that I would do it. And here they are, and the thing is it all goes through the church office, so nobody knows where you live. You can say your name is Wilma if you want to. You know, they just want to study the Bible with you, and you can encourage them and answer Bible questions that they may have, but sometimes they just need to know who they are and how God feels about them and what their identity is and what it's going to be inside while they're there. And what it's going to be like whenever they get out. And the people that will welcome them and love them and respect them. I went through the whole system, all 13 units, when I was inside. And I looked so forward to hearing from Christy, who was in Lakewood, that would study with me each week. And I knew this stuff, but it was just encouraging to know that there is a Christian person out there that I could write to and I could study with. And I could study with other people, because these people don't just keep it in their cells. They put it out on a table and they study it with other people, and it explodes. And so I just ask that you pray for this ministry, and if you don't have the time or the effort or the desire, we need to fund it too. And so if you want to help pay for some of the postage, that would be awesome. I just ask you that you keep it in the prayers. Like David said, we're going to be doing this, giving you some examples and some instruction on how it works July 6th, that Wednesday night. But contact me, contact Jan, contact the office, contact anybody. Just say New Life Behavior and I'll come running. So God bless. Thank you, Rusty.
Visitors, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. We know that you had other options to worship elsewhere, but you've been a blessing to us to be in our presence and to worship with us. Come back and worship with us anytime that you can. A couple of young ladies we'd like to identify. Charlie Fuhrbacher went to the area in FFA contest and received the following awards. She got fourth place in job interview. She was area champion senior public speaking and advancing to the state competition in July. Area champion star chapter in ag science advancing to the state in July. And she's also an ag science fair state finalist. She was also the state silver medalist solo and ensemble in choir. Kyler Harcourt was another one we want to recognize this morning. Performed at a dance competition last weekend and received the following awards. First place platinum for her duet, first place platinum for her Arabian Nights, first place platinum for Speechless, first place platinum for Everybody Wants to Rule the World. We're thankful for these two young ladies, and we're thankful for our youth. And the Stephenville Yellow Jackets have nothing to hang their head over. The top 8 teams in the state, and they were one of them, and we're very proud of them. We're proud of our young people and the way they represent Christ in the community and the way they represent Graham Street Church of Christ at all levels, and we're thankful for them. Children's giving this morning, wasn't that awesome? I've been here 27 years. I know it seems longer than that for some. But man, there was a time in this church's life we didn't have young people. There was a time. And man, it is wonderful to see them little kids giving their money and being all about giving of their blessings. And parents, thank you. Thank you for instilling that in them. And just we got a lot to be thankful for here at Graham Street. The singing has been awesome. David, thank you for the lesson. Awesome lesson. We need to be a church family that's willing to extend grace and forgiveness to everybody. If we can't forgive somebody when we stand before our Heavenly Father, it's not going to be good enough. I promise you. It's a commandment to forgive and to love, okay? Let's stand as we sing our closing song after this prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for this body of believers. Father, thank you for this church family. Thank you for the good things that they do in the community and the good things they do in this world. Father, help us to continue to strive to be light in a dark world. Father, we pray for the families of Uvalde. We pray for the families of those other shootings around this world. And Father, there is evil, and we think it's prevalent, but we know, just like Peyton said this morning, we know that you're in control. And you will do what you see fit at the time. And Father, we find comfort in knowing that you love us, knowing that we're your children, and knowing that you're going to call us home eventually someday. And Father, we look forward to that. But help us to stay courageous. Help us not to be timid. Help us to be willing to tell the greatest story ever told. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. of the helpless, O abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. Thyself my guide and stay can be through cloud shine, O abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing. Shadows flee in
Amen. Be a blessing to somebody this week.